Steve Dale on WGN Radio. You know, Dr. Marks, I'm sure it's true in veterinary medicine. Sometimes things don't happen the way you expect them to, the way you want them to, and you just kind of roll with it, right?
Absolutely.
Hold on. This is... Say that again.
I said absolutely.
There we go. That one was my fault. If we don't have your microphone on, how about these studios? I know everyone talks about it, but... Yeah, it's just the view is beautiful. It's just beautiful. And what you're doing is called Fear Free, and that is very, very cool. You are the first Fear Free entire practice, not just you and not just certified veterinarians. We have to go back and explain what all this is about.
Yep.
But you're the first one in Illinois, one of the first in the country as a practice, as a practitioner individually.
Right.
You are one of the first to be certified. So let's go way back in time. What is Fear Free?
Well, Fear Free is an initiative that was started by Dr. Marty Becker a few years ago, more than a few now, but really started to be launched into our industry in April of 2016. And what it is it looks at the emotional well-being of our pets, because as veterinarians, we've done a great job of advancing physical health and wellness for all of our pets and furry family members, but we really haven't done a great job at looking at their emotional needs, their fear, anxiety, and stress, and how having a fearful event imprints on them and actually escalates and worsens with time and age. And so that has affected a lot of things. It has affected the human-animal bond. It's affected how pets are relinquished because of behavioral issues.
Mm-hmm.
It affects how we can effectively treat pets in the hospital because they can be so fearful that we aren't able to do great exams or do lab work or some of the testing we need to make sure that they're physically healthy. But most importantly, it's their health. It's their emotional health. And so this initiative is helping veterinarians and other veterinary professionals look at ways to change that and to take a new fresh look at it and help not only the veterinary industry, but also, most importantly, our pet parents that we work with every day understand their pet's emotional health and how we can make that better.
All right. So when you go to veterinary school, you learn about surgery,
right,
and you learn about parasites, and you learn about all these things that matter. So you can diagnose, and most veterinarians, I hope, can, certain kinds of cancers with the help of blood work, right? And then you know what to do about it, because there are protocols written, and this is the kind of thing you learn in veterinary school and learn by experience. You mentioned these two words, emotional health.
Right.
So that is something that I'm not sure our own medicine for all of us necessarily does a great job at. When I go to my doctor says, how have you been feeling? And he
right.
checks me, he examines me in spots I don't even want to talk about now on the radio. He does all, right? He or she would do all
well,
of that.
Yes.
But they don't necessarily say, how have you been feeling? We can't ask our dogs or cats that. But what we can do is make the visit more tolerable, if not even downright enjoyable
right.
for that animal. And then you get a better picture not only for that animal's physical health, but for that animal's emotional health as well.
Yeah, and I think there's a few specific things that go along with that. So one, we've been learning a lot more of specific questions to be asking pet parents.
Like what?
Well, for instance, things like, does your dog do these behaviors when there's fireworks or thunderstorms or different noise-triggered events? What is your dog's body language at certain times of the day? And that's a huge thing, I think, is the we really underestimated how much body language of dogs and cats can really tell us.
There's a book now that explains a lot of this, from fearful to fear-free, which
right.
is, because how many, you may know the numbers, and I apologize that I don't remember numbers. Do you know how many individual veterinary practitioners, veterinarians, mm-hmm. or for that matter, veterinary nurses are certified? So you don't just say in the morning, I want to get up, I think this is a good idea.
Right.
You actually have to be certified.
Right. So I think as of this spring, there were over 20,000 worldwide. The goal is, I think, by the end of the year to be almost double that. But the big thing I think about this is that this is a very positive choice, and it's a commitment by the veterinary professional that you're going to if they are fear-free certified, that they firmly believe in this and that they are taking a very forward step into making sure that this is a very important part of your pet's health. And I think right now, as we talk about, as I speak about this, it is an obligation. It should be in the veterinary industry because we haven't really taking care of this appropriately for many, many years.
Well, you've taken care of the physical well-being of animals.
Right.
And have done an amazing job at it. More amazing every year because we learn more every year.
Absolutely.
Having said that, the emotional health part of it, not so much. And I've talked to veterinarians, especially some of the old-timers, but not necessarily, I mean, even newer graduates, I mean, what they learn in school is how to get it done. So you do what you need to do no matter what it takes, and Fear Free says, no, we could slow it down a little bit. We can do better for the pet's emotional health. And here's what I mean. Carrier comes out for a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Most cats then want nothing to do with it. They will go to another county if they need to.
Yeah.
They're hiding. They're running in the other direction. So right there, even before the cat gets into the car, even before the cat arrives in your clinic, that cat, and you know I talk about this all the time, is so terrified that I think that cat thinks, actually, I'm going to die.
Well, they're
literally.
They're definitely in that fearful panic. And that's one thing I think that cat owners really need to understand is that the cat carrier is not a transport mechanism 5 minutes before your exam and then back in the garage full of leaves and dirt. That's not what it's for. That cat carrier needs to become part of your furniture in your house. Now, it doesn't have to be your coffee table or some kind of decorative artwork in the middle of your room, but it needs to be there all the time so that cats understand that's normal. They need to be fed in there, treats placed in there. That cat carrier needs to be open. There should be some kind of pheromone in there, a nice warm towel periodically, something to make it a positive space. Because when I have owners that come in and, you know, they're rushing in and sweating, and, you know, I've been trying to catch my cat for an hour at home and I had to pull him out from underneath the bed and hit him with a broom, I think to myself, well, that's probably part of why he doesn't want to come into that carrier, because this is the experience that has to happen. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can give owners a lot of different tips, even if you're at that advanced level of fear
mm-hmm.
at home, to change that, because the cat needs to understand again that that cat carrier can't be a negative trigger when they see it.
And there are tools that are available that weren't even 5 years ago available. Some pharmaceuticals that can help. You mentioned pheromones, like Feel Away for cats.
Right.
That stuff really matters.
Absolutely. And just for people who don't know what a pheromone is, so cats and dogs make these chemical substances, especially from their parents when they receive when they're nursing, that allows them to relax. So these are specific to cats and specific to dogs, Feel Away and Adaptil.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they naturally relax these patients after they've had contact with them for a small period of time, 10 to 15 minutes. So we use them all over our practice. You know, we spray them on our clothing. We have them on towels. We have diffusers in our lobby, in our exam rooms, anywhere that patients go, because they do actively calm these patients without you having to even touch your cat or dog. So especially for cats like that are in multi-cat households where there's conflict, or I love it for dogs that are first adopted from shelters or rescues that are going through a transition period of trying to stabilize routine. These are fantastic things that are easy to add on. You can even just put on an Adaptil collar for dogs and just naturally relax them as they're trying to understand sort of their new place in the world.
And there's no downside. I mean, it's not like there are adverse effects or anything of that nature.
No.
I guess the only adverse effect is you feel it doesn't work and you wasted $3 at PetSmart or something.
Yeah.
Because this stuff's readily available, which is the other thing as well. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I mentioned earlier you just didn't get up one morning and say, I want to be a fear-free practitioner.
Right.
What does that mean? What do you have to do?
Well, to become fear-free certified at the first level, there is a long learning module, eight different modules that you need to take online.
As a veterinarian.
That's right.
So,
and also as technicians,
yes,
and other veterinary paraprofessionals. And so once we go through that, there's a certified test that you need to take after every module and pass. And then there's different levels of that. So that's the first step. And again, that's the individual taking on that course. But
Blum Animal Hospital in Chicago has gone so much further. Tell me how that happens.
Well, this
for,
has been
for an entire practice.
Yes, this has been a year-long project for us. We're really proud of it. We've had a great team of team members that have all taken different roles, but we've had to look at our practice from every aspect. So literally starting to that first phone call from a client and how we're educating clients about fear-free. So fear, we tell people fear-free doesn't start in our practice. Fear-free starts at home.
As we alluded to with the cat carrier.
Right. So clients need to understand that we have to set those patients up for a good visit. So that involves not only pheromones and cat carrier training, per se, but how they ride in the car and do they need something to help them relax to get here in the form of either a nutraceutical or a pharmaceutical, talking about the music they're playing in the car, where they're sitting
the
in the car.
The music?
Yes, the music.
You have so when you walk into Blum Animal Hospital, I want to walk people through now.
Please.
So you go up the door to the door. On Clark Street near Belmont. So you walk right up to the door, and then when you begin to walk in, you have a choice. There's a dog side and there's a cat side. Why did you do that?
Well, there's been a lot of studies that have shown that in waiting rooms, especially cats, their blood pressure, just even their heart rate, can soar just from seeing a dog if they're not used to seeing them or living with them. And so we are trying to, again, set up this entire visit, this entire patient experience, to have the least amount of fear, anxiety, and stress as possible. So if cats can have their own side where they don't have to see dogs, they don't have to have their carrier on the ground, where we have, and there's videos you can YouTube and that are have a GoPro inside and what a cat actually sees inside their carrier. It can be terrifying to them, especially when dogs are coming and putting their face right in there and sniffing. So we do that. We also have specific pheromones on their side, and we have a towel that has pheromones that they can drape, owners can drape over the carrier so that that cat can't see out, but can get the benefit of the pheromones to relax. So we want to have them come in and feel much more comfortable than having to go and sit next to, nothing against them, but a crazy golden retriever puppy that might be jumping up and down and knocking into the carrier and barking and all the things that to a lot of cats is a stress trigger. So dogs have their own separate area, the same thing. They can put on a bandana with Adaptil on it to help relax as they wait for their appointment. There's the Adaptil diffuser and, as we mentioned, the music.
Yeah, so let's talk about that music. So when you walk in, you not only, if you're a dog, not really smell, but sense the pheromones, but you also hear this music in the background. If you're a person, you also hear the music, and it has a dual purpose, it turns out, for people and for pets.
Right, so we used to just play the radio and
WGN, I would hope.
Always.
Yes.
As we've, gone through fear-free training and certification and just sort of re-looking at every aspect and every part of, in different parts of the experience that touch our pets and our owners, because we want to calm our owners too, we found that classical music and actually reggae music is incredibly positive for
pets. Do you really play the reggae music?
We do. We have a reggae, well, this is really cool, actually. So one of my team members came up with a Spotify list of all of the classical and reggae instrumental music that we play.
And you're referring to a study. So most of the studies have shown that dogs and people and cats are more likely to relax with classical music. All of that would figure. But one study demonstrated dogs actually do best with reggae music, which I suppose brings a whole new meaning to Marley and Me.
Good one. Yes, it definitely does. But we vary it in the hospital. And to be honest, I have to say, we were very nervous about this because our staff was like, oh, gosh, why do we have to listen to classical music? Because we had been listening to, the top 100 or whatever. We have had more clients compliment the atmosphere and aura of our practice since switching over. Because a lot of, I'm a pet parent, so when your dog or cat is sick, especially if it's pretty sick, we have a lot of clients coming in incredibly worried and stressed and emotional.
And that's a snowball,
which is normal, right?
Isn't it, though?
It absolutely is.
Because then the pet picks up on that.
Yes.
But your team even picks up on that, being human.
Right.
And it grows and it grows and it grows, and it kind of, like, slows that down a little bit. It's 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on WGN. We'll be back with more with Dr. Natalie Marks. Fear-free veterinary practices, that's what we're talking about. Fear-free pets. fearfree.com or fearfreehappyhomes.com. And that's the one that is for all of you, for pet owners. So check that out and check us out. But right now, we'll be back. We actually don't go anywhere.
No.
So when announcers say that, are we going anywhere?
We're right here.
Yeah, we'll be right here. I promise.
Conversation, the Sunday Spin.
The president makes his first visit to Illinois since entering the White House. We'll talk to Illinois Public Radio's Brian Mackey about the downstate visit. Plus, we'll continue our discussion about the future of manufacturing in the state with the incoming president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association, Mark Densler.
The Sunday Spin with Chicago Tribune political reporter Rick Pearson. It's next at 7 on 720 WGN.
If you're like me, you're always looking for something fun to do with the grandkids that you can enjoy too. Well, an annual trip to the McHenry County Fair is our go-to event. Tractor pulls, livestock barns, a hypnotist, a kids game show, and of course, a little magic. Come for the demolition derby. Stay for the pro bull riding featuring Tough Heidemann. That's on Thursday, along with First Responders Day. Wednesday is Scout Day, and Saturday is Veterans Day at the McHenry County Fair. Your day is best spent at the McHenry County Fair from July 31st to August 5th. Celebrate 70 years of family fun. It's an event for families to come and create summertime memories that will last a lifetime. McHenryCountyFair.com.
There's an amazing supper club in Wisconsin Dells, Ishnala. Nestled among the pines and perched above the sandstone bluffs of Mirror Lake. The beauty, the history, the service, the food, the fun. Hi, this is Bob Prosser, owner of Ishnala Supper Club in Wisconsin Dells. I have been a part of Ishnala for 30 years, and I am so proud to continue the tradition that began in 1953. Why not enjoy a brandy old-fashioned in one of our bars, each with a spectacular view overlooking Mirror Lake, or just relax before or after dinner on one of our outdoor decks. Our Ishnala chefs have prepared your favorites. 24-ounce ribeye, cold water lobster tails, North Atlantic salmon, and of course, Ishnala's roast duck. Thank you for making Ishnala Wisconsin's favorite supper club, where the only thing we overlook is Mirror Lake. I'm Bob Prosser, and I want to serve you.
Hey, can I hang here for a few hours?
Sure you can. Everything okay?
Yeah, my AC broke at home. It's like a sauna in there.
I know the feeling. I just got my AC replaced. It's amazing in here.
Who replaced it?
Smart. They even had a rebate, so I saved money.
That's amazing. Now let me in. I'm melting here.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Visit IWantSmart.com today. You can have an AC replacement and receive a rebate of up to $200.
IWantSmart.com.
WGN Radio, Steve Dale here. Rick Pearson after 7 o'clock talking about politics, which is always a very scary thing. This can be scary, too. When something happens to your pet, what do you do? And I don't know why. Maybe Dr. Marks can answer this question because Dr. Marks knows all. Why do emergencies always happen on weekends, holidays, and at 3 in the morning?
Isn't that Murphy's Law?
I know. So now there's a place that says, you have an emergency, we'll be there for you. MedVet Chicago. They're located at the corner of Belmont, Western, and Clybourne. MedVet provides emergency specialty and critical care 24/7. And now, when you go to veterinary school, you can even go to school longer if you want, because you can specialize in cardiology, neurology, ophthalmology, even dentistry. The list goes on and on. And many, if not most, really, of those specialists are at MedVet Chicago.
That's right.
Now, you know what this means. They're a VECCS Level 1 Trauma Center and American Animal Hospital Association accredited referral hospital. You're an American Animal Hospital Association hospital.
We are.
You're not a referral hospital, though, because MedVet Chicago, you go in, and if you need to see a specialist, there will be one there. And your pets always receive the most comprehensive and compassionate care available. To learn more, check them out at medvetforpets.com or call 773-281-7110, 773-281-7110. 281-7110. We're talking about this notion of being a fear-free hospital, but you mentioned it really begins in your home.
Right.
With your dog or your cat. And there's a book out, From Fearful to Fear-Free, that's all about dogs. And I think as information, even if you've been a dog owner forever, you might even misread on occasion your dog's body language. FearFreeHappyHomes.com is the website for all of us. And the great thing about this website, you know, people go to the web for information now. I mean, right? I mean, of course. I mean, you do it, I do it.
Right.
Everybody, you want to check out a restaurant before you go there? You go online, you know? So that's an okay thing to do, but you want information that's good information. And that's one thing I like about this website.
Yeah, and it's really put together by... it's just a conglomerate of different types of specialists, which is awesome. So our fear-free advisory board, which we're both on, right?
Yes, we are.
You know, there's so many different minds on there. There's human physicians, there's veterinary behaviorists, there's psychologists, Temple Grandin, who is just this phenomenal brain. She's in there looking at just housing and environmental triggers for stress in pets, especially in farm animals. So this is not just dogs and cats. We are expanding into exotics and also farm animals and large animals. And the big thing, as you mentioned, though, is the accuracy of the information. And as an example, we have so many clients that come in when their dog is yawning. Right, so we think when we're yawning, we're tired. But yawning is a sign of anxiety in dogs. So if a dog is coming into my exam room and I'm looking at it and it's immediately yawning and pacing and panting, that dog is not comfortable being there, and I need to change my strategy and talk to owners about that. And I think that's a really important thing for owners to understand: is your dog's body language says so much, as does cats. But if we're talking about dogs here,
So I want to talk about the fear-free practice that you are, Blum Animal Hospital, is one more time. I mean, this isn't only Dr. Marks, and this isn't only Dr. Julia Jorgensen, and the other veterinarians, and this isn't only the technicians. It's a mindset of everyone, including the front office staff. I mean, everyone coming together.
Right, and getting certified, too.
Yeah.
So everybody's taking the time to make sure that this entire practice works as this functional wheel. If there one part falls out, you know, we can set ourselves up for not the best visit and certainly not the best outcome. So our care coordinators are starting by educating clients at home, and like we talked about, how to get to the hospital. We have teams within the exam rooms, a doctor and assistant team, doing low stress handling and pheromones and different types of strategies on how we touch patients and how we work through our exam, how we draw blood, how we take x-rays, how we do ultrasounds, how we recover patients, and also just educating clients on what I call needs and wants, right? So if your dog is coming in, it's been vomiting for 7 days, but the goal of the visit is the nail trim, and that triggers your dog. That's, you know, it's much more important for us to be getting lab work and x-rays than it is to finish that nail trim. And if that nail trim is making that dog incredibly stressful, and on this fear, anxiety, and stress scale to the point where it's trying to bite or is urinating or defecating, all these really advanced signs of fear, we're not probably going to do it that day. We're going to come up with a different strategy so that we're not imprinting. There's this really small part of the brain called the amygdala in all of us, and it's the fear.
Me too?
In you too.
Me too.
It's a fear center. So anytime there's a fearful event, that event goes in the amygdala and imprints. It stays there forever, and if it's triggered again, it gets worse and worse. So we are stopping that. We're not going to be part of that anymore at Blum. We aren't going to add to that, so we're coming up with strategies, and it's very individualized per patient and per pet parent, of what we can do to make sure that we're reducing fear, anxiety, and stress all the time in your pets.
Am I going to see you at the Chicago Margarita Festival later?
Oh, I wish. You just told me about that.
It's the most exciting event ever in Chicago. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I know it's happening at Navy Pier. Well,
and
maybe
we're looking at it right now.
Yeah, maybe in a way it is fear-free, too. Fear-free, happyhomes.com for further information. Dr. Marks, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Steve.